Hello and welcome to On the Line. I'm Carl Richter. For this week's episode, I spoke with Jenny Walker, Executive Director of the Literacy Council of Bowie and Miller Counties. She leads the Literacy Council's mission to fill a wide variety of educational gaps in the Texarkana community. And she told me about some of the exciting new projects and programs the council has in store. It's a lot more than just teaching people how to read. First, I'd like to tell you about something new at the Texarkana Gazette. We've recently doubled the number of email newsletters we offer. That means whatever your interest, you can get the latest stories delivered straight to your inbox. You might like The Upside, a collection of good news stories to put a positive spin on your week. There's a crime and courts newsletter, an opinion roundup, featured feature stories, sports, weekend accent, and more. To sign up, just go to texarkanagazette.com/newsletters. That's texarkanagazette.com/newsletters and pick your favorite topics. It's a great way to keep up with the news that matters most to you. And we promise we won't send you anything you don't sign up for. Now, here's my conversation with Jenny Walker. Hi, Jenny. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Normally, when people hear the word literacy, they think about people learning how to read.
But right.
You guys are working with a sort of a broader definition of what literacy is, and you do a lot more than that, correct?
Yeah. So literacy is a really broad umbrella of different content areas. So we can, of course, work with the reading and writing, which is what people traditionally associate with literacy. But literacy really encompasses anything that keeps someone from being able to conduct normal business and be able to just get along in life, basically. So computer literacy is part of this. Financial literacy is important. Health and wellness literacy. We also work with a lot of math, and we help people with other educational goals that they may have, like getting a GED or enrolling in college or any of those kind of things. We can help them really get on track so that they can move forward.
So all sorts of different life skills, not just reading, writing, and arithmetic, but tell me more about the health and wellness part. That's something I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, so if you're someone who doesn't go to the doctor regularly, mm-hmm. You might have a hard time really understanding the importance of regular blood pressure checks or making sure that you are eating healthy or, you know, getting your body moving. And so what we do in our office, we have a way that we can help just kind of let people keep track of those routine things that would give you an alert. So if we start to notice that you have a regular high blood pressure, you know, for several days in a row, we'll, you know, of course can't diagnose anything, but we can recommend that you go see someone who might can take a closer look. And so we really want to make sure that we are mindful of those things. And we have some really great things coming around the bend. We've been working to bring a yoga program to the Literacy Council.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm.
Because we really want, you know, we really want people to understand the importance of moving their bodies, but also of the, you know, mental health breaks that, you know, are so important to making sure that we are able to be productive and move forward. So
that sounds like something I could use.
Yeah, come on out. It's going to be a lot of fun. And everything we do is free. So we're really excited about
that. That was going to be my next question. I didn't know if everything's free.
Everything's free. Yeah.
Great. Let's get to the headlines. I know you have a lot of new programs and projects in the works. What are y'all working on right now?
So our biggest and most exciting thing that we are rolling out in the next few months is a program called the 100 Families Alliance. And this is a program that comes from a nonprofit in Little Rock called Restore Hope Arkansas. And Restore Hope is a nonprofit that worked primarily to help men and women who were in correctional facilities to be able to get on their feet once they're out of incarceration. But what they found was, you know, just helping people be prepared for life after incarceration is great, but they really wanted a holistic look at how this family was going to move forward as a unit. And so they found a lot of success with that, and then they expanded it to include any family who was just kind of in a crisis situation, because we know that when men and women are struggling with unemployment or addiction issues or transportation issues, it doesn't just affect the person who is dealing with those issues. There are children in that home who are also impacted. And so we really want to look at this entire family as a unit and connect them with resources that are already here in our community. So we have 100 amazing nonprofit organizations, and sometimes we find ourselves serving kind of the same people. And so so this program really just kind of creates like a case management type program where a family will come to us and we'll say, okay, you guys need this and this and this, and let me call my friend over at the housing authority. Let me call someone over at DHS or whatever we might need to work out so that we can help that family move forward all together. And, you know, when you have parents who might have a low education level, then they probably are struggling to help their children with homework. So just making sure that as the family, I mean, as the parents move forward and reaching their educational goals, that we also provide support for the children in that home as well, so that ultimately the whole family gets on track.
Is this something that you're going to have to get more training to do with your staff?
Yes. So we are working with Restore Hope, and they're coming to do some training here in the next month or so. This is a brand new initiative here in our area. We'll be the fifth county in the state of Arkansas to have this program, and we will be the first outside of Arkansas as we will serve both Bowie and Miller County residents. And we're super excited about what this has done in the other counties and how we're going to bring the same success here.
So it has been successful elsewhere.
Yes. So they see we do an intake process as families come in, and we assess them in 13 different areas. And these areas include things like food and housing and transportation and childcare and education and employment. But we do an evaluation, and then we help them connect to different resources. We kind of start with the more fundamental things that people need to just make sure that they're good, food, clothing, shelter, you know, the basic things. And then once we have stability in those areas, once the families have stability in those areas, we kind of level up to the next kind of area. So we'll start with those fundamental things, then we'll level up to things like transportation and addiction issues and those kind of areas. And once they're good there, then we level up again. And ultimately, we get them to education and employment. Our main goal, ultimately, is to be able to fill seats at Texarkana College and at Texas A&M and be able to have these people on track, these families on track, so that they can be successful. And then, you know, not only in our higher education institutions, but also in our workforce. We have great things coming down the pipeline with our community, a lot of industry coming in, a lot of businesses that we're working to recruit to bring into our community, and we want to make sure that we have a good, solid workforce to be able to put forward. And we have so many great people who are in need of employment and who are very motivated. They just maybe don't have a pathway to get there. And so that's really what we're hoping to provide with this program.
That sounds wonderful.
Yeah.
What else are you working on?
We're also working on a citizenship class. We're really excited about that. We've been doing some training with the U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Office. And so we're hoping to roll that out. There aren't any citizenship programs anywhere close to us. The closest are kind of in the Tyler Longview and Dallas area on the Texas side, and then in Arkansas, we're looking at, you know, up in like Fort Smith and Little Rock. So we're hoping to be able to be a good hub for people who want to kind of pursue that, and we can serve a lot of...
You mean becoming a U.S. citizen?
Yes, yeah. Yes. The citizenship and naturalization process, yes.
Wow, and some more offerings for youth, you told me about.
Yeah, so we are partnering with the Kiwanis Club of Texarkana, and we're having two new clubs for kids. So we have a kids club, and then we also have a middle school age club that we're going to be working with. And these clubs are kind of here to provide some activities for kids that are a little bit different for those students who are not athletes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think maybe they might need a place to go. And so, of course, this is open to anybody, but we want to help these young people get some leadership skills, to be able to meet with some guest speakers from out in the community and give them a chance to learn how to serve. We're going to do a lot of community service projects and different things like that. So we're super excited about that, about bringing in some younger people. And then for our high school students, we have two programs that have already been going at the Literacy Council, and we're hoping to further build those up. So we do an ACT and college prep class where students can get free ACT tutoring and also kind of help parents understand that college application, scholarship process, navigating all of that stuff. It's really overwhelming. It's really tedious sometimes. Mm-hmm. If you are a parent and you've never, especially for parents who didn't go to college themselves, it's very scary navigating those waters. So sometimes we have great counselors at our high schools in the area, but, you know, sometimes their caseloads are really, really heavy. Sometimes they don't have a lot of time to just give one-on-one attention just because they have so many students. And, you know, sometimes parents can't always get to the school because of, you know, work or whatever. And so we can be here as a resource for those parents and help answer those questions and help them get on track so that they know what to expect, what to anticipate as they are going through that process.
Wow. That's really invaluable.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to help a lot of people, it sounds like.
Yeah. I worked for a long time in the college prep area. I was a high school teacher for a long time, and I just saw so many students who just were lost in the process, and their parents were, you know, really wanted them to be able to take advantage of all of these things and get scholarships, but a lot of times the parents just didn't know where to start, and it's overwhelming, and it is very scary when you think about, this is my child's future, and you know, there's so many things that you just don't know sometimes. Right. And so that's what we're here for. We just really want everybody to move forward in whatever capacity that looks like. So I love it. That's one of my favorite parts of my job, really.
Anything else new happening?
We are expanding our personnel at the Literacy Council.
I wanted to ask you about staffing. Yeah. Do you have paid staff or is it mostly volunteer?
Yes. So we are, I've been the only full-time person since I started this job. So there's been a lot of things that I've had to kind of have on my shoulders. And so we've worked really hard to get some stability this year. And when our new budget year started, we were able to hire a wonderful part-time administrative assistant who's there to kind of help keep things going for us and cover the office a little bit so I can be out and do things like this.
Yeah.
And we are very fortunate to also be able to bring on four members from AmeriCorps, which is a federally funded grant program that allows people to come in and serve the community, and they get a living stipend and an education credit. So it's great for college students and people who want to serve the community and also get a little bit of a reward for doing that. And then, and we've had AmeriCorps members in our office before, but we only had two. This year we're having four. I'm really excited about that.
Wow.
Yeah. And we have a wonderful, relationship with Texas A&M and Texarkana. So we have a very, very healthy internship program. And so we do a lot of work with our students. The Literacy Council is all about education, and so we really are kind of a learning lab for everybody who's in there. So we had an ESL class that meets on Tuesday nights, and I sat back, and it's run completely by education majors. And yeah, it's really great. And there was a moment last year where I just sat back and kind of watched the students were – our adult learners were learning the language, and then the interns were teaching, and they were practicing their things that they had learned in their classes. And so I just had a real, you know, my teacher heart was overflowing, because I just thought every single person in this room right now is learning, and it made me really, really proud of the work that we're doing. So, but the other super exciting thing for me is that we are able to bring on another full-time staff person. And so, so we are hiring for that right now. And then this person will work with our education and employment part of the 100 Families Alliance program. So they will go around and build relationships. They'll work with the families. And I'm excited about that. And in order to house all these new people and grow, we are moving the Literacy Council.
A little more elbow room.
I know. We, whenever COVID hit, we had to, we were just struggling financially. And so one of the first things I did whenever I came into this position was I had to cut some expenses, and our top expense was our rent. We were in a 4,000 square foot building, and so we very quickly had to reevaluate that, and we moved into an 800 square foot building, which is quite a bit smaller. And so we've made do, but we've had to max out all of our classes at 12 students, because there's no way we could even fit more people in the room. And so we are expanding to an 1,800 square foot place. So we're more than doubling our room to accommodate all of the new people we have working on our team, and also the students that we're hoping to get with these new programs.
How do you find students? How do they find you? How do you reach out to people? How do people know about the Literacy Center?
So we have a lot of students who have just been with us for a while. We have some people who have been coming very faithfully to the Literacy Council for 2 and 3 years, and they're still working hard and still part of the programs. But we also get a lot of people who call in, and they have heard about us or been referred to us from other places. We have a great relationship with the Texarkana College Adult Education program, and we kind of refer students to one another depending on how students are, you know, how they test in whenever they come in. And so we also get students on referral from other nonprofit organizations, and we have a partnership with the DHS office in Miller County, and they send students to us as well. But we haven't done a lot of just full-out recruitment up until this point, because we really didn't have the space to bring in a lot of students.
Right.
But now that we are on our feet and we're expanding out, we're going to start seeing a lot of recruitment efforts that are going to come out of the Literacy Council here in the next few months or so, as we start to build up our programs and kick things off in January. So
that's great. You mentioned you were a high school teacher for a long time. Is that the path that got you here?
Yeah, I am a Texarkana native. I grew up here. I went to LE, and I really would not be in, you know, I would not have been able to do all the things that I've done without the teachers who I had in my high school career. Well, really all the way up. I had some just fabulous teachers who really created a pathway for me. I was a first-generation college student, and so that was, you know, having that experience and being able to move away, even for just the 4 years that I was out, really just opened up my whole world. And
where'd you go to school?
I went to the University of North Texas in Denton. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. It was a great experience. And when I was engaged, my future husband said, I want to move home and live in Texarkana. And so we came back here and, you know, started our family. And I came in as a teacher right out of college, and I taught high school for 15 years. And then I transitioned into higher education. I worked at Texas A&M for a couple of years, and have loved every minute of it. And then this position opened up. Richard Seymour retired last year. And so this was just a natural fit to my interests and my passions. And even though I've had these different jobs, my mission has always been the same, which is to just create pathways for people to something better. And so I worked a lot in college prep. I worked a lot in ACT. I used to also have a little side hustle as an ACT tutor. And so I really love the idea of helping people just move forward, because I know that I wouldn't be where I'm at without people creating that pathway for me. So,
wow, that's really... That's really great. Tell us about fundraising. I know it's been sort of difficult lately, but we had the spelling bee again this year.
Yes, yes. So we, you know, COVID was just brutal for nonprofits. Mm-hmm. And we were already kind of struggling. The Literacy Council was already kind of struggling a little bit before COVID ever hit. Mm-hmm. And so it really knocked the breath out of us. And there was a moment where we were just not sure if we're going to be able to keep the doors open. But we just have an incredible community, and I have a fabulous board of directors, and I work really hard. And just together, I think we all just kind of just decided we weren't going to allow it to go away. This is a Texarkana institution. It was, it's been in business. The Literacy Council's been here since, I think, 1984. And we weren't willing to allow it to just go under without a really good fight. And so that's what we did. I mean, this entire year last year was just a fight to get some stability and keep the doors open. And we were just very blessed to have the right combination of, you know, leadership, board members, people who were just willing to come in and volunteer. And, you know, our spelling bee looks so different this year than traditionally, because we couldn't have the live audience like normal. And so, you know, I was really worried about, you know, are we going to be able to sell virtual tickets to this thing? How fun is this going to be to watch it, you know, online?
And just for people who may not know what we're talking about, it's you call it the corporate spelling bee. Mm-hmm. Different organizations can field a team.
Yes.
To compete in the spelling bee.
Yes. So we have, it's really our signature event. We have teams that come from all kinds of different companies. We have the Gazette's always there, Domtar, Texarkana College. We've had school districts, nonprofit organizations, a lot of different groups come forward and put these spelling bee teams together, and they get a list of words and study really hard. Well, some study more than than others, yeah. But it's always fun. It's always fun. And so this year we had to skip it in 2020 because it's in the spring, and you know, for some reason they did not think that the spelling bee was an essential activity, which I disagree, but. So since we had to cancel that in 2020, we really were banking on the 2021 Spelling Bee to really kind of help make up for what we lost. And we didn't get all the way there, but we did have a great event. We were able to make it a profitable event, and we had a lot of fun. And so this year, this coming year, this spring, we are in the planning stages, but we're hoping that we'll be back to our regular lively event that is very well attended and very well supported by our community.
You had some news you shared with me about the trophy. Do you want to tell people about that?
Yes. So we were very, very saddened by the news of the passing of Aaron Brand. And so Aaron was just a wonderful supporter of the Literacy Council. I mean, he really was great coming into this position. He was one of the first people I reached out to, and he was just such a champion for the work that we do, and always very active in the Spelling Bee team for the Gazette. And so when I heard of the news, I met with our board, and I recommended that we consider naming our traveling Spelling Bee trophy in his honor, and everyone just agreed that that was a great way to honor his memory, and that he would be very he would think that would be very cool.
So. He really would. He was always, full disclosure, and Aaron and Andrea Miller, our news editor, have been our Spelling Bee team for 4 or 5 years now.
Yeah.
And Aaron was always the most enthusiastic one of us, ready to dig in and sign up and start studying. And he was competitive about it.
Yes.
We all are, but especially him. And so that would mean a lot to him. So yes. Thank you very much.
We are very excited to be able to do that. So,
how can people get involved? I'm sure you won't deny, turn down a donation.
I will never turn down a donation to the Literacy Council. But we need volunteers. And one thing that's really great about the Literacy Council, and probably a lot of the organizations in Texarkana, is that we are so tiny that we don't have a lot of we don't have a lot of staff members. We don't have a whole, team of bookkeepers and all the things that it really takes to run an organization. So we really depend on people stepping up, and a lot of people are really nervous about tutoring or teaching, but there are a lot of things that people can do that don't really involve those things. Helping us plan our events and helping us write thank you notes and helping us with things like bookkeeping and Excel spreadsheets and different things like that are all very helpful. And would be greatly welcomed at the Literacy Council. And we have it's a really special place. We have a very welcoming environment. We have a very loving environment. We are very supportive of our students and also of our team that comes in. We love our interns, and it's just a really great place. If someone wants to serve, it's a great place to get plugged in and really make a difference. And what's really awesome is that you can see very easily the progress that our students make. The fruits of your labor are very evident when you work with the Literacy Council. We celebrate with our students. It's really exciting to watch them achieve the goals that they set for themselves, because so many of them come in, just with very low confidence. But the great thing is that when they do get those little wins here and there, and we celebrate them, they just want more, and it's really exciting. It's a great environment to be part of.
What's the website? Where can people find out more?
Our website is www.literacytxk.org. And our phone number at the Literacy Council is 903-255-7733.
Okay, great. I'll be sure and put that link in the show notes. And hopefully someone will hear this and want to sign up.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll get some applicants for that open position, too.
Well, we are just really excited to have everybody come in. And just another note about tutoring, you know, people might be nervous about tutoring. But the thing is that most of our students who come in are, they're adults, but usually they're on probably about anywhere from a third to a fifth grade level. And so, you know, we're not doing a whole lot of astrophysics over at the Literacy Council. A lot of this tutoring is really just working with people on some, you know, fundamental math, fundamental English stuff. And so it's not anything that I think most of us would think of when we think of coming in and trying to tutor somebody. It's really just kind of...
People don't need to be teachers.
Yeah, you don't have to be a teacher, and we'll show you a lot of things. And I love, you know, I love all of the facets of education. I love teaching people how to teach, and so I can definitely be a resource for helping our tutors know what to do. And we do training with them and all kinds of things. So we're not going to throw you out on an island and expect you to know exactly what to do. And we also do a really good job of trying to pair tutors with the same students every time, so that you can build a relationship. You get to know each other, and that
I hadn't thought of that. I'm sure that's very important.
Yeah, that accountability there is really important, because you know, you may have a student who might be a little reluctant, or maybe you know they're not always excited to come and learn. But if they know that my friend, is there who's going to be my tutor, and I don't want to let them down. It really does help kind of build up a little more success with our students. So, and we love that, and you get to know them. And one thing that I think is a really good testament of the environment that we have created there is that we have interns who they come in from Texas A&M, they complete their whatever hours they need to fulfill their, you know, credit hours that they have to have for the class or whatever. But then they don't leave. They love the people they're working with, and they get attached, and they love our environment there. And I have students who they finish all their required time, but they're still there sometimes even daily, just checking on things, checking on their students, working with their students. I have an intern who was there three semesters ago, and he still comes almost daily to just come in and take out my trash for me and work with his students. And so to me, that I think that speaks well when, you know, there's absolutely nothing that holds them there, but they love it so much that they stay. So.
Well, it sounds really rewarding. And
yes.
Thanks again for telling us so much about what you do and taking a little time to be here today.
Yes. Well, thank you. I really appreciate it, and I will always come back.
All right. Well, stay in touch.
Okay.
On the Line is a Texarkana Gazette podcast recorded in Star Bear Studio, right here in downtown Texarkana, USA. The show was written, produced, and edited by Carl Richter. News stories are based on Gazette staff reports. Texarkana Gazette podcasts are made possible in part by a grant from the Google News Initiative Journalism Emergency Relief Fund. I'll see you next week on The Line.